From the Jackalope Studios, high above the city in the beautiful Barrie View Castle, welcome to the Harmony Health Hour, reconnecting spirit, mind, and body, with your host, Dr. Daryl Drumright. You're not the only one I've ever had, and if I say I want to set you free, don't you know you'll be in misery? They call me Dr. Love. They call me Dr. Love. I've got the cure you're thinking of. Call me Dr. Love.
Hey everybody, it's Friday night on Jackalope Radio. This is Dr. Drumright and the Harmony Health Hour begins. We've got a couple hot topics tonight that we're going to kind of review, a little bit of bad news that's going on around here. Then we're going to move over into some philosophy to explain things. And then I've got some very interesting new research out of Russia on the human DNA. I think you're going to like that. When we're going to start off, it's kind of some of the things we talked about last week in this new treasonous piece of legislation that was put out in the United States, signed by Mr. Obama on January 31st, called the National Defense Authorization Act. I hope that everybody's talking about that. I hope that it's getting airplay and talk play anywhere and everywhere, because in this piece of legislation to reauthorize and pay for the largest military the world has ever seen is a provision in Section 1031 that declares that the world is a battlefield, and that America is now governed under the rules of war, not the rule of law. One of the things that it says in there is, for a belligerent act, an American or anyone else on the planet who is belligerent to the U.S. government can be picked up and whisked away without trial, without habeas corpus, without lawyers, without phone calls, without anything whatsoever, and held indefinitely, transferred to another country, held as long as they until the end of hostilities. And the hostilities on the war on terror, since there isn't an actual imminent enemy, it's a war on a philosophy, is indefinite. What you're seeing here is a bold grab, power grab going on, that if not challenged by the state levels and by the individual levels around here, you're going to see a Gestapo type orientation. And I just read some news today that a 16-year-old, and I don't have the article in front of me, so I forgot what town or whatever, was arrested recently as a terrorist because she was planning an attack on fellow students. Her and a few students had conspired to beat up some other students in their school, and this got to the FBI, and these kids, 16-year-olds, have been arrested on terrorist charges because of this new legislation they're passing through. Everything.
Jeez.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And this is a, you can see it on my Facebook if you want to go look at that, in the Daryl Drumright Facebook, my link to these things. I keep up on the news every day. I feel like my position as a doctor and a healer, and I have more than just healing the people in front of me. I have to bring the information to the front so that we can review it and vet it and make sure it's correct, because there's so much abundant information available to us now in the 21st century. We have to learn how to sort through it and see what is actual and what is not. A good news on that front: in Austin, Texas this week, seasoned veteran, a West Point graduate, was witnessing a DUI New Year's Eve night, pulled over young woman, and the cops were beating up this girl. And he started taking pictures of them and yelling at them to stop it. You know, that's a small woman you're beating up on. And, of course, all the videos now on the Internet. And the cop comes up to him and starts getting in his face, shoved him into his truck, tried to take him down, and wound up arresting him and charging him with felony counts of assault of an officer and interference with a police investigation. Well, this guy is a West Point graduate, okay? He's a two-time war veteran, absolute honored, decorated veteran here, and he puts out a Craigslist ad asking if anybody was there that night that might have some video of what happened. And sure enough, somebody shows up who was across the street from the entire event and had videotaped the whole thing. And now Craigslist, this veteran got a hold of the full video of exactly what happened that corroborates his story versus the police story, and now the news media in Austin, Texas, against the direction and the wishes of the police in the same town, have run this video on the nightly news. So you're seeing this big scandal going on in Austin, Texas, that what started off with a normal routine beatdown that the police like to do to DUI, you know, if you're drinking. Actually, what had happened is they come around the other side of the car and yanked open the door and jerked this girl out of the passenger side of the car, and that's when this veteran started intervening verbally and taking pictures. He didn't ever go over there. He just was yelling at these cops, stop beating up that girl. And so they stopped beating up the girl and they try to beat him up. So you're seeing an out of control power structure going on here, where the people with badges, God bless you guys, you're supposed to be peacekeepers, have been mistrained that you have the authority to order Americans around. And I'm telling you now, as a veteran, there are lots and more Americans out there that will not tolerate that. They're not your slaves. They're not your, you're not their boss, okay? You're there to keep the peace, not be ordering people around. You start ordering veterans around, they know very well you're not in their chain of command. If you're not in their chain of command, they're not obligated to listen to your orders. Keep the peace. Absolutely. Keep everything calm, yes. But if they're calm and peaceful people, you need to back off. You need to stand down.
Whatever happened to Officer Friendly?
Stand down, my friend. Officer Friendly has been trained now by military and other methods over the last 5 to 10 years to now their job is to, calm the situation. Anything that arises or anything that happens that it somehow could upset the situation, they're supposed to use whatever force necessary to calm the situation. When I was tased last May, that was all about. I did not resist. I was not violent in any way. I just refused to let them grab me. And so they tased me instead. And of course, then I can't resist them grabbing me and jumping on me and beating a chiropractic peace activist up because I wouldn't sign their piece of paper. I mean, that's how silly it's gotten, folks. So watch yourself, stay low. But if the time comes, my veteran friends out there, you know, the orders are stand down. You know, it's not confront, not conflict. Don't bring violence with violence, but literally let them know that this is not going to be tolerable in a nation of free people. Now, from that, I want to move over to our weekly reading of the Tao Te Ching.
Yay.
We're going to read verses 74 and 75 of the Tao Te Ching, and I think you'll see it's very appropriate with what we were just talking about. 74, ruling by fear. People do not fear death when they are forced to live in hopeless misery. Thereby, the executioners are no threat to fearless rebels who dare to make trouble. They might even execute the executioners. Remember, this was written 4,000 years ago. Okay? When people do fear death, they do not defy the executioners at first. But how long can the killing go on before those who fear death also become fearless? Then they too might execute the executioners. By that time, the only ones left who might serve as the executioners would be the people themselves. However, it is said that those who hew wood in place of skilled carpenters are likely to cut their own hands. The ultimate problem for those who rule by fear and force is created when their rule produces such misery and hopelessness that their victims no longer fear death because life itself becomes worse than death. Then the people rise up and rid the world of the professionals who are paid to keep them in misery. When there are no longer professionals to keep the people victimized, then the rulers are forced to bribe some of the people themselves to do the dirty work. But Lao Tzu reminds us that this won't work so well because, not being professionals, they will be more likely to hurt themselves than their own family and friends. Verse 75. Who can enjoy the treasures of life? What are the treasures in life, Todd?
Well, there's quite a few of them, actually. Well, friendship is one of them, and love and honor.
Yep. Well, the three treasures in the Tao Te Ching are love, humility, and moderation. Remember those?
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about those the other day, and, you know, moderation is something that a poor person who's always looking for the next meal can never experience. You cannot experience the fulfillment of being of a moderation if you're always hungry and always striving and suffering for your, because you're poor. So, and humility is something that happens after you're successful. When you're successful in what you do and you're creating wealth and you're creating a career of good stuff, you have to remember the treasure of humility, or else you'll tip over from your ego and crash.
True.
So these treasures, as Lao Tzu talks about, are basically instructions for successful people, people that have already achieved some success. These are reminders of how to live your life so that you can be happy with success. So success doesn't make happiness, but if you are successful, these are very important things to keep in mind for you to be happy. Otherwise, your success will be the cause of your unhappiness.
Your own undoing.
Yes, yes. And Lao Tzu talks about that a lot. Verse 75, who can enjoy the treasures of life? Why are the people so hungry? Because their grain is devoured by the rich in taxes. That is why the people are starving. Why are the people so rebellious? Because the government deprives them of their liberties and rights. That's why the people are rebellious. This was written 4,000 years ago? Mm. Why do the people not fear death? Because their lives are made so miserable that death seems no worse than life. Thus, no one can enjoy the treasures of life, neither the rich who squander their humanity, nor the government which tyrannizes the people, nor the people who have nothing to gain from life. That's a sad commentary. Dr. Dale says, the translation here follows the original very closely until the last stanza, which I believe successive translators may have altered to mystify the entire point of the verse out of fear of consequences of openly criticizing the power elite. For example, Gregory C. Richter provides a character-by-character translation of the last stanza as, for those who do not use their life to act are able to value life. Jonathan Starr's version is, in the end, the treasure of life is missed by those who hold on and gained by those who let go. Clearly, what this verse asks and answers is why people are starving, rebellious, and do not fear death. My departure for the last line of the extant Chinese text is to avoid its irrelevance to the rest of the verse. Verse 74 and 75 of the Tao Te Ching. Todd, you ready for a first break?
Hey, whenever you're ready, let's
throw in a couple songs here, and we'll come back and we'll move over to the scientific side of things. Everybody, this is Dr. Drumright in the Harmony Health Hour. We'll see you in a minute.
Don't make it tough, I'll put away my pride.
You're listening to Dr. Daryl Drumright and the Harmony Health Hour on Jackalope Radio.
All right, it's Friday night and we're back. We're going to change the topic around a little bit. Before we get to that, I want to do a little thing here. I would like anybody listening to this show, if you could help me out, Google Drumright Chiropractor, C-H-I-R-O-P-R-A-C-T-O-R, and then the number 64152. That's my zip code. You're going to find Harmony Health, my office site, quickly on that Google search. And if you get a chance, give me a rating there. I mean, if you're a patient of mine, definitely give me a review as well. But anybody else, I would sure appreciate popping some ratings on there and keeping that graphic up nice for us. Hey, Todd?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's looking good. We got a new website, harmonyhealth.com, that should hit the internet within the next week. I haven't seen the prototype yet, but it's supposed to be ready today. It's a little bit slow on development. It's going to match our brochures and be a very nice feature spread where Todd and I are going to be doing videos to be posted up there soon and keep expanding our web presence that way. You can always get a hold of me at harmonyhealth.com. You get a hold of me at Facebook at Daryl Drumright or Harmony Health, either one. You can ask your questions. As everybody's found out, I'm on the internet in between patients throughout the day. So I will gladly answer your questions and give you some suggestions on ways that you may recover from your imbalance or maybe find a doctor in your area that can help you out. Okay, the next segment we're going to go into a very, very current research out of Russia. I'm going to be reading this article that's written by a Grazyna Fossar, F-O-S-A-R, and Franz, F-A-R-A-N-Z, Bludorf, B-L-U-D-O-R-F. You can Google this as well. Look it up. It's called The Human DNA is a Biological Internet. So look that up. Give them some love. And I'm basically going to, it's a well-written article, so I'm just going to kind of read it off to you here and use some of my airtime to get this information out. The human DNA is a biological internet and superior in many aspects to the artificial one. Russian scientific research directly or indirectly explains phenomena such as clairvoyance, intuition, spontaneous and remote acts of healing, self-healing, affirmation techniques, unusual light auras around people, namely spiritual masters, mind's influence on weather patterns, and much more. In addition, there is evidence for a whole new type of medicine in which DNA can be influenced and reprogrammed by words and frequencies without cutting out and replacing single genes. Sound interesting?
It does.
All right. Only 10% of our DNA, and we've talked about this too, this is a new term around here called epigenetics. They don't call it that in this paper, but I think that's kind of the new term that we're talking about here. Only 10% of our DNA is being used for building proteins. These are the instruction pieces that tell the body what to make next. It is this subset of DNA that is of interest to Western researchers and is being examined and categorized, the Genome Project.
Gotcha.
The other 90% are considered junk DNA. Leave that to Western scientists. You know, that 90% of that stuff is just crap. It's like your gallbladder. You don't need a gallbladder. Your appendix, you don't need the appendix. Your tonsils, you don't need those tonsils. They're extra. Just cut them out and throw them in the trash. So we got 90% of our DNA, according to Western scientists, before this research is junk. Don't need it. 90%.
Jeez.
So that means they think 10% is all there is and everything else. Oh, well, that just bamboozles the mind how insane that seems. The Russian researchers, however, convinced that nature was not dumb, joined linguists and geneticists in a venture to explore those 90% of junk DNA. Their results, findings, and conclusions are simply revolutionary. According to them, our DNA is not only responsible for the construction of our body, but also serves as a data storage and in communication. It stores your memories on the DNA strands, Todd.
Okay.
And the DNA themselves are communicating. The Russian linguist found that the genetic code, especially in the apparently useless 90%, follows the same rules as all of our human languages. You know how language, and you've done some study in this, has pitch and tempo and inflection and inflection and the way that we talk to each other?
Right.
What they're saying is when you're, well, we'll just go on. The way their research shows is this DNA, when tested on these laser tracks, shows the same bounce and timbre and reflection as human language.
Okay.
Okay. So they say, the Russian linguist, to this end, they compared the rules of syntax, the way in which words are put together to form phrases and sentences, semantics, the study of meaning in language forms, and the basic rules of grammar. They found that the alkalines of our DNA, because DNA sets up in two amino acid pairs, and they just link up arginine, and there's four amino acids that make up the primary DNA, and they hook up in different pairs into these sequences. So they're saying the DNA follows a regular grammar and do have set rules just like our languages. So human languages did not appear coincidentally, but are a reflection of our inherent DNA. So the human DNA knows our languages. Hmm. And so you are exposed to your parents talking, and you are automatically genetically programmed to know how to talk, to know how to use language, because every cell in your body is using those languages already. The Russian biophysicist and molecular biologist, P-J-O-T-R, Garjavjev, G-A-R-J-A-J-E-V.
That's crazy. Yeah.
and his colleagues also explored the vibrational behavior of the DNA. The bottom line was, living chromosomes function just like solitonic holographic computers using the endogenous DNA laser radiation. There's a lot of big words there. This means that they managed, for example, to modulate, change around, turn up, turn down, certain frequency patterns onto a laser ray, and with it influence the DNA frequency and thus the genetic information itself. Since the basic structure of DNA alkaline pairs and of language are of the same structure, no DNA decoding is necessary. What they're saying is you turn language timbre and the rules of grammar into a light frequency modulation and project that through a laser onto the DNA, and the DNA will recode itself according to what you just said.
Right.
All right? One can simply use words and sentences of the human language. This, too, was experimentally proven. Living DNA substances in the tissue, not pulled out of the tissue, but while they're still in the living body, will always react to language-modulated laser rays and even to radio waves if the proper frequencies are being used. So they're like little antennas.
Yeah.
Okay? This finally and scientifically explains why affirmation, autogenous training, hypnosis, and the like have such strong effects on humans and their bodies. Todd, you ever been hypnotized?
No.
I haven't either. I've witnessed some professional hypnotists on many occasions, and it is quite extraordinary what they can do to you and make people do. Let's see. It is entirely normal and natural for our DNA to react to language. Our DNA speaks our language. While Western researchers cut single genes from the DNA strands and insert them elsewhere, the Russians enthusiastically worked on devices that can influence the cellular metabolism through suitable modulated radio and light frequencies and thus repair genetic defects. Garjavjev's research group succeeded in proving that with this method, chromosomes damaged by X-rays, for example, can be repaired. They even captured information patterns of a particular DNA and transmitted it onto another, thus reprogramming cells to another genome.
Freaky.
So they successfully transformed, for example, frog embryos to salamander embryos simply by transmitting the DNA information patterns. It looks like they're saying here is that your DNA is basically a guitar string.
Yeah.
And it depends on what you play on it, will determine how your cells turn out, what proteins are made, and how your body turns out.
True.
This way, the entire information was transmitted without any of the side effects or disharmonies encountered when cutting out and reintroducing single genes from the DNA. This represents an unbelievable, world-transforming revolution and sensation. All this by simply applying vibration and language instead of the archaic cutting-out procedure. This experiment points to the immense power of wave genetics, which obviously has a greater influence on the formation of organisms than the biochemical processes of alkaline sequences. So the biochemical processes of alkaline sequences, see, the way the Western sciences work is we like cutting things out and then looking at it under the microscope. Okay, it's reductionary mindset. It's linear. It's I have to find the cause. This is happening. I need to know what caused that. So we kill it, cut it into little parts, centrifuge it out, and then study the little bitty parts and try to figure out what happened. Well, what these studies are doing is leaving it alive, beginning to influence and interact with it with language and sound and microwave and light waves, and then observing what it does while it's alive in reaction to the influences you're putting on it. So it's almost a molecular behavioral study.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. So, esoteric and spiritual teachers have known for ages that our body is programmable by language, words, and thought. This has now been scientifically proven and explained. Of course, the frequency has to be correct, and this is why not everybody is equally successful or can do it with always the same strength. The individual person may work on the inner processes and maturity in order to establish a conscious communication with the DNA. Russian researchers work on a method that is not dependent on those factors, but always works, provided one uses the correct frequency. What they're doing is they're creating a machine to try to simulate a Qigong master. There's somebody, you know, an enlightened individual who's able to heal with his thoughts because he's tuning in his mental frequencies. We've talked about on this radio show before. Your brain is putting out, your thoughts are literally detectable frequencies. They're energy that's broadcasting out of your head into the local time space. And somebody else's DNA is picking up on those thoughts and reorganizing their song space, their DNA space, to match your thoughts. Even more powerful, we've talked about this before, is the heart song. Your heart is pulsing out sound waves to a parameter of said to be 64 feet radius around you. And everybody else, human DNA around you, is pre-programmed to listen to your heart song and organize themselves in harmony with your heart song. So if you're singing anger and fear, then the people around you notice that. Their DNA hears that song. If you're singing love and gratitude, then the people around you, without talking, without using verbal language, are literally listening to the language of your heart and responding emotionally and cellularly at the DNA level to the sounds of your heart. Now, is that absolutely extraordinary?
It's crazy.
That's the kind of stuff that's going to save this world. Okay, but the higher developed an individual's consciousness is, the less need is there for any type of device. One can achieve these results by oneself, and science will finally stop laughing at such ideas and will confirm and explain the results. And it doesn't end there. Are you ready for this?
Okay.
Okay. And if you order now, okay, the Russian scientists also found out that our DNA can cause disturbing patterns in the vacuum. What does that mean? Thus producing magnetized wormholes. Now, I have read about this from another article before. Wormholes are the microscopic equivalents of the so-called Einstein-Rosen bridges in the vicinity of black holes left by burned-out stars. These are tunnel connections between entirely different areas in the universe through which information can be transmitted outside of space-time. The DNA attracts these bits of information and passes them on to our consciousness. This process of hypercommunication is most effective in a state of relaxation. Stress, worries, or hyperactive intellect prevent successful hypercommunication, or the information will be totally distorted and useless. So what it's saying is the DNA warps time-space. It's a harmonic equation of physical space that somehow interacts in extra-dimensional time-space. Now they go on. In nature, hypercommunication can be successfully applied, has been successfully applied for millions of years. The organized flow of life in insect states proves this dramatically. Modern man knows it only on a much more subtle level as intuition, but we too can regain full use of it. An example from nature. When a queen ant is spatially separated from her colony, this is another new research, I may have mentioned this in the past shows, building still continues fervently and according to plan. So the queen's not there anymore.
Right.
Yet all the bees still do, all the ants still
doing their thing.
Still doing their thing. Okay. If the queen is killed, however, all work is in the colony stops. No ant knows what to do. Apparently, the queen sends the building plans also from far away via the group consciousness of her subjects. She can be as far away as she wants. There's no time, there's no space distance. As long as she's alive, even on another continent, these ants are connected through information and DNA structure to hear her and continue the construction process. She can be as far away as she wants as long as she is alive. In man, hypercommunication is most often encountered when one suddenly gains access to information that is outside one's knowledge base.
Right.
Now, Todd, we're getting into stuff here that I'm sure with your Night Watch show and a lot of the things that you've covered over the years, you've talked to people that have encountered this stuff.
Right, right.
Okay. Such hypercommunication is then experienced as inspiration or intuition. The Italian composer Giuseppe Tartini, for instance, dreamt one night that a devil sat at his bedside playing the violin. The next morning, Tartini was able to note down the piece exactly from memory. He called it the Devil's Trill Sonata. For years, a 42-year-old male nurse dreamt of a situation in which he was hooked up to a kind of knowledge CD-ROM. A verifiable knowledge from all imaginable fields was then transmitted to him that he was able to recall in the morning. There was such a flood of information that it seemed a whole encyclopedia was transmitted at night. The majority of facts were outside his personal knowledge base and reached technical details about which he knew absolutely nothing. This reminds me of The Matrix. You know?
It does, yeah.
Hey, I need to learn how to fly a Huey helicopter.
Let me plug it in.
Yeah. All right, let's go. Now with that, kick-ass, we were talking about that with that chip they got that they can put in your brain. Now this is saying you don't need the chip.
That's crazy.
You just need to be calm. Calm? What's that? Do you know anything about calm?
I don't know anything about
that. I mean, neither. That's one of my things. It's hard for me to calm down. When hypercommunication occurs, one can observe in the DNA as well as in the human being's special phenomenon. The Russian scientists irradiated DNA samples with laser light. On screen, a typical wave pattern was formed. They were seeing the energy coming off of the irradiated DNA. Okay? When they removed the DNA sample, the wave pattern did not disappear. Now, I've seen this research otherwise as well. It remained. Many control experiments showed that the pattern still came from the removed sample, whose energy field apparently remained by itself. Now, you get what that's saying? They took the molecules out. Okay, they radiated the molecular DNA. It created an energetic wave pattern, electromagnetic field. And then they removed the protein structure of the DNA. And yet the energy, the electromagnetic energy field that it had been producing remained and continued to be predictable and measurable, even though it was proven there was no actual molecular structure there whatsoever.
It's freaky.
All right. This effect is now called phantom DNA effect. It is surmised that energy from outside of space and time still flows through the activated wormholes after the DNA was removed. The side effect encountered most often in hypercommunication, also in human beings, are inexplicable electromagnetic fields in the vicinity of persons concerned. What does that mean? Electronic devices like CD players and the like can be irritated and cease to function for hours. When the electromagnetic field slowly dissipates, the devices function normally again. Many healers and psychics know this effect from their work. I can't wear a watch. I mean, for a year, I cannot wear a watch. A watch will stop in a matter of days.
My cell phone stops a lot.
Mm-hmm. And you know, this can work. I know people and myself as well. Intuitively, I can fix computers just by walking in the room. You can ask my wife about this. She'll have an error or her printer won't work or anything like that, and she'll call me. As soon as I walk in the room, boom, it starts working again. My friend, Dr. Paige Crow, he does that with cars. Okay, whenever he's around a car, it will work. I mean, if the car hasn't been running 20 years and you can't get it going, you call him, he walks up, puts his hand on the car, it works. He has this psychic way of harmonizing with machinery and causing the machinery to work in his presence.
Weird.
Now, he's a healer, too. He's been to the Shaolin temples with me. I mean, he's a very high-level experienced master healer. So, let's see, where were we? An effect's called phantom DNA. The side effect encountered when the electromagnetic field slowly dissipates, the devices function normally again. The better the atmosphere and the energy, the more frustrating it is that the recording device stops functioning and recording exactly at that moment and repeated switches. You can remember this, probably do this with some of your ghost hunting, right, Todd? When you got a big electromagnetic spark or some kind of ghost in the area, is your camera shut off?
No, I've never had that.
No? Okay. Thank you. And repeated switching on and off at the session does not restore function, yet the next morning all is back to normal. Perhaps this is reassuring to read for many, as it has nothing to do with them being technically inept. It means they are good at hypercommunication.
Right.
You're jacking with your computer.
Now, I've had cameras turn off and on their own when we were doing investigation stuff at certain locations.
Mm-hmm.
That was weird because there's a physical switch that it's turning off and on.
Right.
Which is bizarre.
Right.
So that's kind of a different thing.
Well, it is a different to some things, but what they're saying here is that the DNA, living human DNA, creates and attracts wormhole extra-dimensional energy and leaves a residual trace behind. So even after the DNA is gone, say somebody dies and the body's not there anymore, because they were there, there's a potentiality of their electromagnetic signature still being present in that local time space.
Gotcha.
So that could explain ghosts.
Yeah.
Okay. In their book, Vernetzi Intelligenze, Networked Intelligence, these names, man, I don't know. Grazna Gozer and Franz Bludorf explain these connections precisely and clearly. The authors also quote sources presuming that in earlier times humanity had been, just like the animals, very strongly connected to the group consciousness and acted as a group. To develop and experience individuality, we humans, however, had to forget hypercommunication almost completely. So you're saying as the ego developed and the individuality of our race developed, we forgot about how to be connected to these deep communication things.
Right.
Now that we are fairly stable in our individual consciousness, we can create a new form of group consciousness, namely one in which we attain access to all information via our DNA without being forced or remotely controlled about what to do with that information. We now know that just as on the internet, our DNA can feed its proper data into the network, can call up data from the network, and can establish contact with other participants in the network. Remote healing, telepathy, or remote sensing about the state of relatives, etc., can thus be explained. Some animals know also from afar when their owners plan to return home. That can be freshly interpreted and explained via the concepts of group consciousness and hypercommunication. Any collective consciousness cannot be sensibly used over any period of time without a distinct individuality. Otherwise, we would revert to a primitive herd instinct that is easily manipulated. So, yeah, we don't want to let go of all of the advances that we've made as far as the understanding of the individual, the paradox of the individual versus the group. But we can re-tap into this group thing while we maintain our individuality to evolve into a next state of being. Hypercommunication in the new millennium means something quite different. Researchers think that if humans with full individuality would regain group consciousness, they would have a godlike power to create, alter, and shape things on Earth. And humanity is collectively moving towards such a group consciousness of a new kind. 50% of today's children will be problem children as soon as they go to school. The system lumps everyone together and demands adjustments, but the individuality of today's children is so strong that they refuse this adjustment, and giving up their idiosyncrasies is the most in the most diverse ways. At the same time, more and more clairvoyant children are born. See the book China's Indigo Children by Paul Dong. Something in those children is striving more and more towards the group consciousness of the new kind, and it will no longer be suppressed. As a rule, weather, for example, is rather difficult to influence by a single individual. Now, I do have a personal story on this. I was on a golf course years ago, right after I got back from China, and it was raining and miserable, and me and my friend, I told you, Dr. Paige Crow, we got together and we started doing Qigong. We started pulling up the Qi and moving the Qi around, and we declared a clear day. Well, what happened was, and I'm not kidding you here, the clouds parted directly over us. We were out at Smithville Lake on the golf course, and we cleared the skies over our hole where we were at on the golf course. It was raining all around us, but right where we were at after doing this intense Qigong, the skies cleared, and we had a ray of sunshine come down to us because we asked for it. Hmm. Now, when stuff like that happens to you, Todd, you know, you go about using the secret, using the Qigong and doing this stuff. It's like, yeah, I'm going to make the weather clear. And then when it does, you're like, wow. You
know? It's almost like, maybe I better not do that.
Yeah, again. That's kind of like, okay, well, let's you know. See, with great power comes great responsibility.
Spider-Man.
Did he say that? Mm-hmm. Good. Well, yeah, I could go way off in a different tangent then, you know, and do a never mind. let's see. I want to make sure we finish this. Researchers think that weather is strongly influenced by Earth resonance frequencies, the so-called Schumann's frequencies. Look that up. That's interesting stuff. Schumann, S-C-H-U-M-A-N-N frequencies. But those same frequencies are also produced in our brains. And when many people synchronize their thinking, or individuals, spiritual masters, for instance, focus their thoughts in a laser-like fashion, then it is, scientifically speaking, not at all surprising if they can thus influence weather. I proved it. Researchers in group consciousness have formulated the theory of Type 1 civilizations. A humanity that developed a group consciousness of the new kind would have neither environmental problems nor scarcity of energy. For if it were to use its mental power as a unifying civilization, it would have control of the energies of its home planet as a natural consequences. And that includes all natural catastrophes. A theoretical Type 2 civilization would even be able to control all energies of their home galaxy.
Hmm.
Whenever a great many people focus their attention or consciousness on something similar, like Christmas time, football world championships, or the funeral of Lady Diana in England, then certain random number generators and computers start to deliver ordered numbers instead of the random ones. You probably heard of that. An ordered group of consciousness creates order in its whole surroundings. So when you get together a bunch of human beings and think similar thoughts, and you create this song, this order of things, then these random generator computers that are in the proximity will begin to produce patterns instead of randomness. Okay, so there is direct influence of group consciousness onto computers and the hardware and these kind of things, and that's been proven and shown over and over.
Art Bell did that before.
Mm-hmm. Excellent, excellent. When a great number of people get together very closely, potentials of violence also dissolve. It looks as if here, too, a kind of humanitarian consciousness of all humanity is created. To come back to the DNA, it is apparently also an organic superconductor that can work at normal body temperatures. Artificial superconductors require extremely low temperatures of between 200 and 140 degrees to function. As one recently learned, all superconductors are able to store light and thus information. This is further explanation of how the DNA can store information. There is another phenomenon linked to DNA and wormholes. Normally, these super small wormholes are highly unstable and are maintained only for the tiniest fraction of a second. Under certain conditions, stable wormholes can organize themselves, which then form distinctive vacuum domains in which, for example, gravity can transform into electricity. Vacuum domains are self-radiant balls. And we're not going to go into all the vacuum domains. We're talking about witnessing balls of electricity coming from the ground to the top. And this is actually coming from people's thoughts is what he's proposing here. In some earth healing projects, such as light effects, also appear on photographs. Simply put, these phenomena have to do with gravity and anti-gravity forces that are also exactly described in the book. All right, so what these scientific breakthroughs are telling us is that now we're able to use the technology to look at the strands of DNA that for the last 100 years we've been saying are solid and determining. In other words, your DNA is the determiner of your life. You're going to get cancer because of your DNA. You're going to get diabetes because of your DNA. It's not your fault. Your DNA did it, so you're the victim, and I have an expensive cure for you. This is switching around to tell us very clearly that your DNA is dancing on the strings of life. Your thoughts, your heart sounds, the songs you sing, the radiation you're exposed to is teaching and singing with your DNA, telling it what to produce next. Epigenetics is showing very clearly that your DNA changes as you go through your life. The DNA you have now is not the same DNA you had 10 years ago. It's different. It's going to have a different song, a different reaction, a different way of doing things. You, as the spiritual being, have to continue to grow up with it, to assume a maturity, an understanding, a personal responsibility that it's your life. It doesn't belong to your doctor. It belongs to you.
That's right.
And it's an adventure. Nobody said it was all fun and games. It's an exciting adventure. You should think of it as such and sing the heart songs of love and joy. What were we talking about earlier, Todd? Wait a minute. One more thing I want to close with tonight, okay? This is something that I've been meditating on all week. And it's something that's growing up out of some of the things that I'm witnessing and I want to grow myself out of and help other people as well. It seems in America today, we have accepted hypocrisy as normal. It seems that most anything we do, if you think about it deeply, we are very hypocritical between our actions and our claims of belief. And let me give you one example. I wrote this on my board this week, and I've been talking to a lot of people about it. Cherish stuff and use people. Or cherish people and use stuff, which explains your worldview. Now, every single person that hears that, I know when you hear that, you say, well, I'm supposed to cherish people and use stuff. Everybody knows that. But if you're honest and you understand what hypocrisy means, doing one thing and saying something else, you are trained through your government schools and your television, for my generation for sure, because I'm 50 now, almost 50. And so I know, I'm the first generation that was raised on television. Okay, I grew up in the 60s. Mm. So the television has taught me my whole life to use people to get stuff. To cherish stuff and use people.
That's no good.
But that's what you're taught.
Probably true.
I mean, how many people out there, you just think about it to yourself. I mean, which is more important to you, your car or your friend, you know? Maybe that's not a good example because friends are friends. How about somebody you don't even know, you know? It's just a person out there you've never met. This is a people. This is a person. They have these thoughts. They have this DNA. They have this heart song versus a car, a piece of stuff that some human being made. And see, we can go on from this. Let me tell you this. Stuff. Valuable stuff is only valuable because some people, some person touched it or did something with it. Is gold valuable until somebody digs it out of the ground? No. It's just potential. It's just out there. It has no value until somebody gets a shovel and digs it out of the ground. Once a people does something to it, now it becomes valuable stuff. So what you're doing here is you're worshiping and cherishing the debris left behind by a people. When a person touches something, they change it around and they can make it more valuable, more attractive, more desirable. And then that thing is a residue of the passing of that person. You are taught in America to cherish the thing regardless of the person who made it. Look at the slave labor in China that we all get our Walmart stuff from, okay? We go buy that stuff. We want all the cheap stuff. We buy stuff. But we don't even consider the labor that went into that by some human being halfway around the planet and what condition that human being is being put through in order to make your stuff. You don't think about that, people. You think about the stuff. Yet all stuff of value, and think about this because it's a little deep, but you got to run it through your head a couple times. All wealth is generated by labor. There's nothing of value that can occur until a human being considers it, puts his mind to it, or puts his back to it. So labor creates all wealth. If you are coveting the stuff without valuing the people, you are rolling around in the debris trash field left behind by the real magic is the people. The people have a spark of golden spark of God in them. They are creators. They make things. They change things. They love things. They fear things. They interact with the background environment and leave behind trails. A creative human being will leave behind a trail of valuable things that other human beings will want. A fearful person will leave behind destruction. They destroy stuff, they burn stuff, they break stuff because of their fear is guiding their heart song. And so the heart song sings out into the local environment and their DNA cries out and destroys everything around it because they're operating in fear. So you can tell somebody's motivation. You can begin to predict what's going to happen around them by what heart song they're singing. You can become sensitive in your heart to when you come close to somebody in proximity. You can tell this person is anxious, is fearful, is in bliss or loving condition, what condition their soul is in. And then you can begin to predict what kind of story they're telling or what kind of debris field they're leaving behind as they move through time and space.
It's true.
Good
it's
stuff.
True. And you know, kind of funny, you know, how a lot of people claim that as a psychic connection and exploit it, but it's really not. It's really because we can all feel it. If you kind of attune yourself at all mm-hmm. to the, I like to call it the harmonious strain of the universe, mm-hmm. you can sure feel when there's a disruption or a change. I mean, you're at a movie theater and you can just feel it, you know?
Right, right.
Crazy how that works, Doc.
Well, your DNA is listening to the sounds of the earth. It's listening to the sounds of your other human beings. It's listening to the sound of the sun screaming out there, of the planet spinning around. There's so many subtle songs going on that your DNA knows about, but your linear Western ego mindset is trained to completely ignore and write off because you have been trained in a certain behavior pattern, the behavior pattern of a slave. Your job is to go to work all day and then come home and drink your beer and watch your television and get to sleep to go back to work all day the next day. And the job you hate, you don't even like it. You spend 30 years to pay a mortgage on a house that is going to be worthless by the time you're done. I mean, it's crazy, crazy.
It is.
And it's time to rethink this stuff. It's time to rethink the whole notion of hypocrisy. When you say one thing and do something else, you're a hypocrite. Try to stop. Okay, it's difficult. It takes an adult mindset to do that. But when you say something, do it.
Stand behind it.
If you're not going to do it, don't say it.
There you go.
All right, man. Is that about it?
That's about it.
Hey, we're almost at a wrap. This is Dr. Jeremite. I had a lot of fun tonight. I was ripping off some really cool new science there, and we're hitting into some philosophy. We're starting off 2012 in a good way around here. This is Jackalope Radio. You can always get a hold of me at 816-436-9355. Todd, what's coming up next?
We got Dean Haglund up with the Chill Pack Hollywood Hour, followed by the Brad Westmar Show, and finally, the Nightbreed Show right here on Jackalope Radio.
Absolutely awesome. This is Dr. Drumright signing off for the week. We'll see you next week.
Attention all you rule breakers, you misfits and troublemakers, all you free spirits and pioneers, all you visionaries and nonconformists.
Everything the establishment has told you is wrong with you is actually what's right with you. You see things others don't. You are hardwired to change the world. Unlike 9 out of 10 people, your mind is irrepressible, and this threatens authority. You were born to be a revolutionary. You can't stand rules because in your heart you know there's a better way. You have strengths dangerous to the establishment, and it wants them eliminated. So your whole life you've been told your strengths were weaknesses. Now I'm telling you otherwise. Your impulse
impulsivity is a gift. Impulses are your key to the miraculous. Your distractibility is an artifact of your inspired creativity. Your mood swings reflect the natural pulse of life. They give you unstoppable energy when you're high, and deep soulful insight when you're low. Been diagnosed with a disorder? That's society's latest way to deny its own illness by pointing the finger at you. Your addictive personality is just a symptom of your vast, underused capacity for heroic creative expression and spiritual connection. Your utter lack of repression, your wide-eyed idealism, your unmitigated open mind. Didn't anyone ever tell you? These are the traits shared by the greatest pioneers and visionaries, innovators, revolutionaries, procrastinators, and drama queens, activists on the social scene, space cadets and mavericks, philosophers and derelicts, business suits flying fighter jets, football stars and sex addicts, celebrities with ADD, alcoholics who seek novelty, first responders, prophets and saints, mystics and JJJs. We substrate of the cosmos. It guides the very current of time and space. The way is known by some as the will of God, divine providence, the Holy Spirit, the implicate order, the Tao, reverse entropy, life force. But for now, we'll simply call it the way. The way is reflected in you as the source of your inspiration, the source of your passions, your wisdom, your enthusiasm, your intuition, your spiritual fire, love. The way takes the chaos out of the universe and breathes life into it, giving it divine order. The way, when expressed by the mind, is genius. When perceived through the eyes, is beauty. When felt through the senses, is grace. When allowed into the heart, is love. Of the flame. Wayseers have an unexplainable knack for just knowing the way. They sense it in their very being. They can't tell you why or how they arrived at the right answer. They just know it in their core. They can't show their work, so don't ask. Their minds simply resonate with the way. When the way is present, so are they. Society begs you to ignore it. The way stirs you inside. Neurological repression blocks most people's awareness of the way. Censoring all thoughts and impulses from the unconscious is their prefrontal cortex, the Gestapo of the brain. Nothing which violates its socialized programming even gets through. But your mind is different. Your mind has been cracked wide open to the way by some miraculous genetic trait, some psychotropic chemical, or maybe even by the will of your own soul. Your brain's reward pathways have been hijacked. Dopamine employed to overthrow the fascist dictatorship of your prefrontal cortex. Now your brain is free of repression. Your mind free of censorship. Your awareness exposed to the turbulent seas of the unconscious. Through this open doorway, divine light shines into your consciousness, showing you the way. This is what makes you a wayseer. 90% of human civilization is populated with those whose brains are blocked to the way. Their brains are hardwired to enforce the social programming indoctrinated since birth. Unlike you, they cannot break out of this programming, because they have not yet experienced the necessary revolution of mind. These programmed people take social institutions and rules very seriously. Society is full of games programmed to keep people's minds occupied so they will not revolt. These games often cause sick fixations on peculiar protocols, power structures, taboos, and domination. All subtle forms of human bondage. This distinct form of madness is not only tolerated by the masses, but insisted upon. The programmed ones believe in rules so forcefully, they become willing to destroy anyone who violates them. Wayseers are the ones who call their bluff. Since Wayseer minds are free to reject social programming, Wayseers readily see these social institutions for what they are: imaginary games. Wayseers comfort the disturbed and disturb the comfortable. Helping those who are lost in these games and refuse to help themselves is the calling of many Wayseers. Since Wayseers are the ones who keep contact with the original source of reality, they are able to disrupt societal conventions and even governments to realign humanity with the way. The Wayseers are an ancient lineage, a kind of priesthood, carriers of the flame.